Yo, we got a sponsor.
We don't have a sponsor. You're joking. Are you serious?
I'm dead serious, man.
Who's the sponsor?
It's a company here in South Louisiana called Varsity Sports. It's a running company that also, besides providing running gear, they also do great stuff in the community.
You don't need to tell me about Varsity Sports. I've been going to Varsity since I moved back to New Orleans like 2 years ago. Linda at the shop on Magazine Street in New Orleans helped me pick my shoes for the half marathon, the marathon this year, and the ultra marathon, the 50 miler.
That's awesome. That's super cool. And you can get a free shirt every time you buy a pair of sneaks. Wow. Like I said, serving the community. And if you guys are interested in grabbing a free shirt, why don't you go over to one of their four locations, either in Baton Rouge, Mandeville, or go see Miss Linda on Magazine Street, or better yet, check out that new store.
New location, Old Metairie.
Old Metairie.
Gotta be the truest. Must be the truest.
My dad especially, he was the oldest of the family. So everyone like looked to him, and he calls me and he's crying and he's telling me it's cancer. It's leukemia, acute myeloid leukemia. So I ran, I ran.
I'm Trey.
I'm Quest.
And we're your hosts. Each week we'll seek out and interview the heroes that live amongst us.
And each week, we'll ask them to tell us the story of an adventure that challenged them, stuck with them, and forced them to grow.
This is our truest adventure. My name is Trey.
I'm Jenna.
I'm Markel.
And I'm Quest.
And I want to thank you guys very much for joining us for another episode of The Truest Adventure. Today, we are joined with
Amani. A-Money. Cash Money.
Oh, yeah.
Cash Money.
And this is the thing. Can we just jump in with this first and foremost?
Yes.
Before the first and foremost. I have already disclosed to the remaining members of the cast, as well as our guests, that I am an Amani groupie. Every time I see Amani, I'm just like overwhelmed with excitement and just like, oh my God, it's Amani. The problem is that most of the time when I see her, it's out running and she's fast like a robot. So that is very short lived in terms of her interaction with it. I sit and stew in it for a while, but she's like long gone after 15 seconds. But that's the foremost before the foremost. Now, the first and foremost, every time since I like have seen you write the way that you write your name, Amani, it's like a dollar sign. And so every time I see it, I'm like, I always think, it's A-Money for the 99 and the 2000. And question, Markel, how much of a song, like from the Cash Money shit, like how much of a song can we play without getting sued?
Well, I don't know that one. I know that like, you can play about, I think it's at least three to five or something like that. Or it depends on what song it is. I know like if you can't do like one parts with words, so many words or something like that, 15 seconds or something. I'm not sure.
Can I play?
Aren't you the lawyer?
Well, yeah, but
he
like,
should know this
clearly,
before.
Clearly, that didn't fucking help us out when we negotiated for the theme music. So I went to the expert in the room.
Now we have to put explicit on this episode. Thanks, man.
I was probably going to have to put the explicit on the episode.
Yeah, especially if you sign your name a cash sign. Is that really how you sign your name?
In an informal email, yes.
When did you start doing that with your name?
Probably more recently than you would think. Back in undergrad, my last roommate would call me A-Money, Cash Money, Young Money. It would go on and on. I don't have that much swag. I didn't make it up myself. But
well, you got swag because you have to have swag to carry that.
Like, well, yeah. More recently, I've accepted and embraced it. And I'm like, you know what? Love a dollar sign. I'm going to see how it goes.
That's so before you leave, I need you to sign that on the chalkboard.
Yeah, I think that should go up there. That's like, what?
That's just
how did we just man add it clapboard
for
it. It is. Got
okay
it.
let's now dive into this.
All right,
how long have you lived in New Orleans?
My whole life.
Okay.
All right. And Jenna's giving like the fist pump of power to living in New Orleans forever. I thought she had a question.
West
I thought
Bank it was a question for life.
I was waiting.
Yeah, West Bank. I was born in Marrero. That's where I was born.
Oh,
West Jeff.
Oh, man. What is that?
Clapboard.
Clapboard, huh?
Right, the double clapboard. Wow.
It's either West Jaff or Meadowcrest, and no one's born at Meadowcrest.
Yeah.
Meadowcrest sucks. Yeah. Unless we have any listeners from Meadowcrest.
It's no longer Meadowcrest.
Oh.
You only know if it's Meadowcrest if you like live there long enough.
Oh.
We probably don't have any of those listeners yet. But if you join, Quest should maybe take a...
I apologize for disrespecting Meadowcrest. Although, if I have to pick a team, I'm on the team that a dollar sign is on.
Yep. Bingo.
Team West
Jeff.
Team West
Jeff. Okay, so you've lived in New Orleans your whole life. Where's your family originally from?
So my family's from Palestine, from a town called, if we want to get real, real. They're from Anya Brood, which means like town of Brood. I don't know what the Brood part means, but like it's right outside of Ramallah. So like a very central part of Palestine and really close to Jerusalem. One of the most beautiful areas you'll ever see in your life if you ever go.
Alhamdulillah.
Yeah. Shukran.
Yeah.
Alamak.
And unlike with the Herald episode, I cannot translate that. So what did you guys say?
You want to take it?
What did you even say?
I just said Alhamdulillah when you were talking about how beautiful it was.
Oh, like, that just means like God is good. It's translated in many ways.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's just like, like somebody's like, you have a baby. Alhamdulillah. Like it's just like.
It's like mazel tov.
Yeah, it's like great. Awesome. Like, yeah, of course. That's beautiful.
So I was like, there's a lot of lying in Palestine if you're going around saying everybody's baby is beautiful. That shit is definitely not true.
You also can say mashallah to that. That's like it's like a knock on wood kind of saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true. Very true.
Just don't knock on the table.
I hope you don't touch the table. Don't touch the table. First rule of podcast club.
The first rule of this podcast club, because as we have covered, we have really good mics, really shitty table.
Hey, can we find out if somebody already has that name, Podcast Club?
Jenna?
Jenna, do you have a phone in here with you? Yeah, yeah.
I love that just like in this ducked off zipper pocket. Like she put it there waiting to be asked or something.
She's like, I'm here for a job.
Wait, y'all, let's talk about these little side zipper jacket things real quick. I have a jacket with a side zipper like that, except it ends right here. And if you put your key there, you're like literally groping yourself to find your key because it's in the bottom of your jacket.
Who makes
Why
that?
Why, Lululemon, would you do that?
No, that's
She's calling out name.
Right? We have nothing negative to say about Lululemon. We can think of a million reasons Lululemon might want a pocket to go that deep.
Maybe you want your arm to be warm, and so you gotta like tuck your whole arm.
You've been thinking it's a pocket.
The...
It's an arm warmer. Oh, okay. You're not using the arm warmer right.
Says the girl in
that's how all my EMS like tactical gear is though, and it's the greatest thing ever because that's like my biggest qualm with being a girl is that girl clothes don't have pockets, and it's like the greatest thing ever when you have all these huge pockets and pen holders and radio holders and you can carry everything.
Oh, nerdy pen holders. Do you have a pocket protector in it?
The West Bank love ended at approximately 8 minutes and 58 seconds into recording. No holds bar. That's why there's no, what is it, the place that you said doesn't exist anymore?
Meadowcrest.
Meadowcrest is gone because the rest of you guys took them out. So there is a podcast club.
Yeah, but it's definitely not as hardcore as I thought it was going to be.
Can we make it like the podcast club? Maybe make it with a K, like Outcast.
Podcast club with a dollar sign for the house.
I need to talk to you about branding.
Right, Swagger is on 100,000 million. Like, talk about you don't have swag to carry that $8 sign.
Can you take it down one notch so I don't get fired from the show, please?
Listen, please. Everybody else is already at a deficit because really this is just like it's awkward if I just show up at your place of work to try to learn as much about you as I can. And so that's the only reason they get to hang out here is because I get to make it about the podcast and I get to learn all the things I want to know about Amani.
Okay, so you said you got that nickname when you were doing undergrad. So we know you're from New Orleans, born and raised. Where did you do undergrad?
LSU.
LSU. What did you study? When did you go there? Did you like it? Death Valley? Yay, nay? Let's get into it.
All right. I mean, Baton Rouge is Baton Rouge. If you've lived there, you know what I mean when I say that.
Yeah.
I honest to God would never live there again. The people are great. The city is cool, but it's a college town. And I, when you're from New Orleans, you're always going to be drawn back here. Mm-hmm. That's just the way it is whenever you're a New Orleans kid.
Yeah.
So I was there for like 5.5 years. I studied, I started it in like pre-med and I ended in nutrition.
Nutrition. All right. Mm-hmm.
So I'm a dietitian by trade.
Hey, yo.
Yeah.
So these Pringles that I'm eating right now.
Yeah.
Also, how are you eating chips so quietly?
Yeah.
I've never.
Because I was raised from 4 to 7 by ninjas in Japan. Mm-hmm. It's also why I'm able to run super quietly.
It's kind of creepy that I can't hear you chewing from here.
Exactly.
And he's on a microphone and you have headphones on that would like feed really kind of clear that up so you could really hear him eat him. But no.
I'm stealth. Plus, like you wouldn't believe.
You're part Choctaw, man.
Also part Choctaw.
I mean.
That doesn't make me stealth, though.
What?
No.
How does that not make you stealth?
Choctaws are not really like my Native American brethren are not known for the stealth attack. We do it by strength and pride, I think.
Yeah, but there's scouts also that were amazing at tracking.
Were amazing at tracking, but like.
They would track other tribes, man. So they would know where people were.
I'm not saying that the Choctaws lacked all stealth ability. That's not what I'm saying. But in terms of designating where my stealth ability comes from, it is certainly the 4 to 7 when I was raised by ninjas. Gotcha.
Okay, so back to this nutrition thing. What do you think about Marquez's ninja diet of Pringles and that looks like some gummy bears and gummy cats or something?
The gummy bears are totally healthy because they're organic. And everyone knows if it's organic, it's healthy.
You heard that from a nutritionist, guys. Dietitian.
And it's a green package with trees on it, so.
Dietitian.
With happy, colorful bears. These bears are totally yellow in nature.
Yeah, but this is the thing, right? It's got the USDA organic logo, and that's how you know it. Say a USDA, so I know it's real.
It's healthy.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, is that. Okay, let's get into that real quick. As a dietitian, would you recommend everyone eats everything organic?
No.
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 Why?
There's a lot of. I mean, we're going to get.
We don't have to get super technical.
There's a lot of research.
Like, I don't know what's going on.
There's a lot of research that shows that some of the things that you eat organically, there's no difference in you eating the organic versus the non-organic. Are you asking me if I eat all organic? No, but there are some things that I'd like make it a point to buy organic.
Tell us those things, please.
Apples, you eat the skin of it. You want to buy it because apples are exposed to a lot of pesticides. Your greens, you want to make sure that you're buying like, if you can, buy organic greens. Essentially, if you're going to eat like the whole entire product of it, it behooves you to buy the organic or buy local. Berries, you want to buy local or organic because you're eating the whole thing. Things like bananas, I buy the fair trade ones, but I don't buy the organic ones because you're not going to eat the skin of a banana kind of thing. Like cauliflower, I know it's random, but I eat a shit ton of cauliflower.
Yeah.
I don't buy organic. They're not exposed to a lot of pesticides. They're also like grown, like if you ever see a full cauliflower, it also has like a lot of like wrapping around it. So things like cauliflower.
Why are you eating so much cauliflower?
Well, it's going to sound weird, but so I
put you can make cauliflower rice.
It is definitely going to sound really weird now with that leaf.
Well, I put frozen cauliflower in my smoothies in the morning because it makes it really thick. It adds a lot of nutrients without adding like a ton of other stuff. It's a good filler. And you get a lot of like, you're eating vegetables with a smoothie and you don't even know it.
Got it.
I also like to roast cauliflower. I just think it's a delicious vegetable. It's underrated.
Okay. So fan of Domenica. Domenica, just yes, so all of yes, our listeners please. Know, Domenica is a restaurant here in New Orleans. It is it's a co-branded venture between John Besh and Chef Alon Shaya. And at Domenica, there is a pizza oven roasted cauliflower that is amazing. And it's got some,
whipped feta.
Whipped feta. That's what it is.
Not that I've eaten it.
Yeah, you would never. But no. It looks good on the table, right?
Yeah.
The feta looks good. You would never touch it. So that being said, so those are some of the things that you would go for organically. What are some things that it's like, yo, as a dietitian, don't ever eat those things. Like if I did a food journal and I handed it over to you, I have some things that I'm sure that would show up. Like I drink a lot of soda.
Soda is probably going to be the top of my list. It's terrible for you.
God, it's so sugary.
Even, like, you know, you're like, okay, I just drink Diet Coke, so there's no calories, but there's stuff that, like the phosphorus that's in soda, it will pull for leeches. calcium from your, I'm like, what is the word I'm looking for? Out of your bones, makes your bones like, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but like over time it like leaches all this stuff and then your bones are less strong. They're fragile. It wears the enamel in your teeth. Like soda is terrible for you.
I needed this because you know what?
Bro, why'd you even give me this San Pellegrino?
That doesn't count with the soda. It's got fruit juice in it.
I like that you said
organic,
that.
Right? It's probably organic fruit juice.
I like that. Where's the USDA so we know it's real?
Oh, man. I got to look for this. You guys
San Pellegrino, isn't that out of Italy, though? I don't know if you're going to see the USDA label on it. What is
that? ITDA? The old ITDA? But in like with the soda thing, I have like fallen off the soda wagon in like the last week and a half because at Entergy, they have a mini fridge full of sodas and you can have as many as you want. They also have like as much bottles of water as you want, but they have sodas and you can have as many as you want. So in the afternoon, I'm always like, why shouldn't I have a soda? Everybody else is having one.
This is what I'm going to tell you. I am not like the type of dietitian to be like, eat this, not that. Like, never eat sugar, never eat carbs. Like, I don't believe that. That's fuckery. It's bullshit. You're never not gonna, like, eat a piece of chocolate.
Yeah.
It's
we
true.
We have totally hammered that explicitly. Yo.
Just making sure that we make our money's worth.
Right, right. You don't want us to have to drop that explicit tag on the episode just for, like, my crap or ass or damn in the beginning. Amani's like, triple down.
It makes me angry when people are like, oh, I'm never going to eat a slice of bread. It's going to make me fat.
Yeah.
No, like, I mean, we could do a whole like series on the way I think about nutrition and like, you know, eating well and like putting the good stuff in your body enough for it to not like want that soda or want that whatever like bad thing that you're eating. But every now and like I eat pizza, I eat cookies. I ate a cookie for breakfast this morning, a homemade mint chocolate chip cookie for my good friend. And I was like, this is awesome. Yo, but I savored it.
Hold on 1 second. We are definitely going to need to make sure. Please let us not forget how to get Amani's information out there. Because who wouldn't want their dietitian to be like, yo, you can start with a cookie.
Right. Shoot a text to my dietitian. I just ate a cookie for breakfast. Fucking awesome.
I ate an egg with it because, you know, balance.
Yin and yang.
Yes. Yeah. No, I read somewhere if you know you're going to eat shit food, like I know I'm going to go home and eat a whole pint of like Halo Top or a whole box of Girl Scout cookies, which I call it a snacks in it.
You snacksidentally ate the whole box.
I heard if you know you're gonna do that after dinner anyway, you should just like don't eat pasta and then do that. Like just have that be your dinner if it's gonna happen once a week. What are your thoughts on that?
So my thoughts is like people obsessed are like, oh, I ate a whole box of like cookies for dinner. I should eat a salad. You're right. You ate the box. You move on. It like one meal. Don't touch the mic either. One meal over like the week of meals is not going to make it a break. Like your overall health. It's really is like having true balance. And like most of your meals are good. Like ask me what I ate for lunch and it wasn't a cookie. You know, I had a good, well-balanced lunch. So that one cookie is not going to make or break me. That box of cookies.
Cookies is not going to make or break you.
Okay, guys.
But don't, as long as it's not like your normal habit, then, you know, it is what it is. Like, go on and have your omelet at breakfast the next day. And it's like, whatever, I had a box of cookies and I feel awesome.
Yeah.
So, yes, definitely going to want to make sure that everyone can hire you.
Well, do you take private clients?
I don't know how. What? I think I need to like some sort of like, I don't know, maybe I'll consult legal.
Yeah.
Isn't like the new thing, like you just put your advice on Instagram and get you get a bajillion followers because you're like, hey, this is how I make my shakes with cauliflower in the morning. And you're not telling people like, yo, do this because I'm getting paid by you. You're getting paid by your advertisers who make the blender, who send you the cauliflower, who have like the stuff hidden in the background, subliminal messages, brand placements. I mean, come on now.
What's your Instagram handle?
So my dietitian Instagram handle is rungry_nola_rd.
Spell it for us.
RUNGRY_. Nola, NOLA _RD.
Perfect.
Okay.
I post like you know, whatever weird concoction I feel like posting that day.
And do you have a personal Instagram? Do you want people hitting that up or no?
Yeah,
or
I have a personal one. I mean, I made it private.
All right, so let's just leave it private then.
Yeah, I just post pictures of like friends and family on there. No like food or anything like that. That's why I strictly separated the two.
Yeah, that's cool. Don't come to my private Instagram for your food porn desires.
Friends and family only. I like that. Yeah. So here's the question that I kind of like, maybe it's a little too leading, but I have consistently been told you cannot out-train a bad diet. Do you believe that?
Yep. Believe it because I did it.
You believe it?
Believe it because I have trained eating really well, eating too well, which is the thing. You can eat too healthy and eating like just shitty meals all the time.
Yeah.
Okay.
I believe you can't. Like, if your true goal is to like be good at whatever you're doing, whether it's like running or skiing or whatever, like your diet does have an impact on that.
Okay.
You may not physically see it. You know what I mean? Like, you may look lean. You may look like an athlete, but you're...
I feel like that's really pointed, Imani. I feel like that's directed at someone in the room as I eat my Pringles.
Silent
Pringles.
I think you burn more calories by eating them silently than you do by actually eating, like...
Are you engaging your ab, your whole core to keep that quiet?
You're probably burning the same, if not more, calories by eating like that for every chip. It's amazing.
This is the thing about being as stealth as I can be when I'm in full-on ninja mode. Mm. The number of muscles that I am using and exercising, and even just the moment of sitting still. Insane.
Ridiculous. I'm not, come on, guys. Like, you cannot. Really? Everyone wants to take that seriously?
Listen.
That was
they
good.
See how quietly I'm eating these chips. I don't know why I'm eating. I guess I'm really hungry. It is now dawning on me that I'm sitting here eating chips while we're trying to record because I'm really hungry.
That might be it. That might. I brought a good pizza, reason to eat. But you wouldn't touch that pizza. Mm-mm. Red sauce.
But you ate the Pringles.
You don't like red sauce?
It's a long story. We don't want to go down that road. We really don't want to go down that road tonight.
That's a rabbit hole we can't go down.
Yeah.
We got it. Listen.
Yeah.
All right.
I, the reason I brought up that training thing is because not being able to out-train a diet is because I know it to be true that you also exercise a lot. So that being said, what kind of activities do you do?
I run a lot. I like to do yoga. I went to a TRX class tonight because I think it's important to do more than just like your main sport, which to me is like running. I love to run. There's no other way to say that. But enough injuries has taught me that I need to do more than run. So TRX, I like to take cycling classes. I want to go rock climbing at that bouldering place. Like, I will do any. I used to like to go boxing. The only thing I won't do is I don't like Zumba. I'm sorry, Zumba lovers. Ugh. I just can't. I think it's because I have no rhythm. I don't like doing like bar classes. Same reason. Not that I don't think it's a good exercise. I just suck at it. And I'm not comfortable. But
bar is super hot right now.
Yeah.
Bar. My sister does bar. Like,
it's hot on Instagram.
Yeah. It's like it's like the it exercise to do. Like the way yoga used to be. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of people do yoga now. But like when yoga was first blowing up, I guess when Lululemon started like putting out the outfits and like people would wear them around whether they did yoga or not, it was like the it thing to do. And now it's fucking bar.
Yeah, true.
It's insane.
Really true.
And that's me speaking from a space never having been at a bar class. That is.
I was about to ask if you've been to a bar class.
You know what? We might be able to work up if we get a sponsor to get a new table in here and A Money agrees to do a Zumba class. I'll go to a bar class. If Trey goes to the bar class with me, you guys see how I lawyered the fuck out of that sentence? How many clauses were in that sentence?
We need a table. We need a Zumba class.
Yep.
And then we need a bar class. And I need to be at the bar class, but I'll also do the Zumba class. And
Jenna,
add it to the list of things to do. Let's get a table.
Okay. Yeah. No, we did not sell
no, the no, 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 no. You did not say that.
Don't violate the spirit of the impromptu
you
agreement.
Wrote a bad contract, and this is the second time on this podcast that you have been caught.
No, listen.
Poorly lawyering.
Tag, Markel is my representative for this negotiation. And we know Markel can negotiate.
Yeah, you should have tagged him in as soon as I started talking. Because like, you know Markel, he's going to beat me.
Well, he's coming to Zumba, so I don't know what he's
doing. Yeah, everybody's going to go. We all go to Zumba. How about this? We all go to Zumba and we all go to bar.
I'm down.
And we're going to post the photos on the Facebook as part of this episode
okay,
when we launch
but we
it.
Do need to get a legit table sponsor.
We do need a table sponsor.
We have brought it up on one of the previous podcasts, and we're bringing it up on this one. Maybe a table has happened in between that one running and this recording.
Yeah.
What if we switch which is not these two tables?
This is my desk, Jenna.
Jenna. A man has to have some workspace.
Right.
Is that where you do all your lawyering?
If I do lawyering at home, I do it at this desk. Although, like,
that was amazing.
With the switch to the new job, I actually don't do a bunch of lawyering at home. I do it at the office, and then when it's done, it's done.
9 to 5-er.
That's it.
Punching that time card in and out. Love it.
Out of there.
But you do run.
I run.
How many miles a week you putting in?
So I'm marathon training right now. So I'm running like 60-ish miles a week.
60 miles a week.
Mm-hmm.
And you're training for a marathon. What marathon are you training for?
I'm doing Boston.
Oh, my God.
That's soon.
Five weeks. Got the email today.
Hey, money.
What's up?
How fast per mile are you planning to run this Boston Marathon?
That's a weighted question. That's a personal question to a runner.
No, fuck that. Yeah, it's maybe a personal question to a runner, but we're in a safe space.
Not necessarily the cone of silence
because all 80 of our listeners are going to hear this. But like, context. So we just came back from running this ultra.
Yeah.
And
badass, congrats,
thank you.
All around.
Thank you. But I had been for months training for the 50K, which is 31 miles. In a span of like 2.5-3 weeks, I decided to bump up from the 50K to the 50 miler, feeling really insecure about whether I could do that. Went to this event that Lululemon put on, Deep Pockets and all. And like they provided this space where it was like, write down the dream or the goal you have and give it to somebody who's going to hold you accountable. And I wrote down, run the 50 miler, even when I was like still amazingly unsure about whether to bump up. And who did I give that paper to?
You gave it to me.
Well, now let's hear about how fast you were going to run Boston.
So my personal best right now is right under 3:08. I couldn't tell you what the pace is. I think it's like 7:15 a mile.
I'm choking on chip.
Now we hear the chip.
You heard the chip, guys. We're not making it up.
I thought you were just like 7:15. But that was like a fake joke.
No,
that's legit praise from people that run. That's obnoxious.
Thank you.
It's obnoxious.
That's amazing.
I would love to run the race faster than that. I would love to. I ran that race, that 3:07:58, like the conditions and the stars.
Which race is that? I'm sorry. You ran a 3:07?
The Louisiana Marathon last year. So 2016.
Wait, we got to
go ahead.
We got to fill the space before
ask her the question and then fill the space?
No, not yet. We got to dial it back because Amani has this amazing story about how she like reacclimates or rediscovers or turns to running. And I think like, let's put that in the space and give context to that because the feats in running that we've already talked about are just like marvelous and phenomenal, period. But then when you fill the space before that or the prefix before those feats is the time when you turn to seriously running and what caused you to turn to seriously running and the bookend is the shit you've achieved and how fast you're running right now, it's insane. It's awe-inspiring.
Okay, so I met you for the first time at that Lululemon run, right?
False.
What?
Oh. False. That's what happens when you're a man about town and...
Whoa, can you say man about town? You're going to get me in trouble with a girlfriend.
I need you to back that man about town up. I'm going to throw my own flag on the plate. I meant man about town strictly for what it denotes, not like the negative connotation. I'm not suggesting that anything untoward may have happened between... Miss A Money and Mr. Half of the Truest.
So I didn't meet you for the first time at the Lululemon.
No.
When did I meet you for the first time then?
So I honest to God, didn't dawn on me that I'd met you before until like a few days ago. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I've been to Trey's. He lives behind Molly's.
Come on. Whoa, you guys are going to get me killed. You're mad about town and she's over at my house.
This start of the story is not helping my previous flag on the play.
And you didn't remember it? Now I'm like.
You didn't remember it.
It keeps getting better.
Let me get Trey out of the hole.
So I roofied myself.
No, there was a. So the what do we call it in New Orleans? Like Giving Day or
Give NOLA Day.
Give NOLA Day. Last year showed up for the youth run NOLA group run. We ran like through the quarter. We ended at Molly's, and that's where I like met you for a second kind
of
thing.
You just told all of our listeners my home address.
I'm sorry. We could.
I think that's
part.
Good. Like you guys want to go send Trey some fan mail delivered in person. Meanwhile, you
super
see,
cool guys.
So I love to like communicate in like GIFs and emojis and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I have a GIF on my phone. It's like Homer Simpson backing into,
yeah,
the,
into
bush.
The bushes. Yes. Yeah,
that's how I feel right now.
No, it's great. It's fine.
You're absolutely fine. If any of our 80 listeners didn't already know where Trey lived, I would be shocked.
Yeah, and I probably would walk up to them even if I didn't know they were our listener and be like, "Yo, I'm throwing a party by the pool. You want to
here you
back?
Go."
So not worried about that. So I did meet you at a Give NOLA Day last year at my house.
Yeah.
Can we make it? There were a few people there.
There were tons of people, tons of youth run NOLA people.
All
like,
right. I'm sorry that I don't remember that. Yeah. I feel like a jerk now.
It's okay. I just remember 3 days ago.
Well, so met you at the Lululemon event.
Yes.
But I also met you at my house. And so benefit of the doubt because Markel and Jenna and myself, like, so here it is. I'll ask the questions because obviously it seems as though Quest knows a lot more than I do and he's silently eating more Pringles.
Well, and also I've already confessed that I'm an A-money groupie. Like, if it's not clear from just like how excited I am when I talk about anything that she's done that I've read about or know about, like, again, this is just like, you know.
Right. So A-money, how, like, have you been running your whole life? What's the story on bringing you to running? Because I feel like that's what Quest wants to get into. And so can you kind of like back us up and talk to us about how you got into running? Because I genuinely have no idea.
So like, a lot of people don't really know how I started it. Like they only know this part of it. When I was in high school, like whatever, junior year, maybe sophomore year, my uncle was a runner, but not like serious. He would just run laps in the neighborhood. Sidebar, my uncle smokes. And so I remember looking out the window one day and being like, if Uncle Frank can smoke and he also runs laps in the neighborhood, I definitely can start running. And I like put on my tennis shoes. They were school shoes. They weren't even like running shoes. I remember they were like a black pair of Nikes. And I would go and run like, the first time I ran, it was 10 like small loops of my neighborhood, like maybe a little bit bigger than this room. And I just ran 10 laps. And then, like, the next week, I remember thinking, okay, let's see if I can do 15. And, like, that's when it started.
So, sophomore, junior in high school.
Yeah.
You start running. Your uncle, the smoker, inspired you to run.
Yes.
That's amazing.
If my uncle who could smoke Marlboro Lights can smoke, I can run. I mean, can run. I can run.
Yeah, awesome. And, you know, it's like I'm getting the image of, like, some of that, like, 1980s shit where, like, in movies and stuff, you'd see people going for a run and then like all standing in a circle having a cigarette.
Well, that's right? Like, that's our man Nacho. Nacho smokes.
Nacho is insane though.
Nacho smokes. He's also, Nacho's going to be at Boston, right?
Yeah. Well, maybe he's training to qualify now.
Oh, for next year's. Mm-hmm. He's going for 2018 Boston. But there's some other people from New Orleans going up. So that's cool.
Yeah.
But that's not what we're here to talk about. Sorry about that. I was just like Nacho smoking, your uncle smoking, people running and being inspired by smokers running. I'm super inspired by Nacho. Yeah. I'm now inspired by your uncle because he obviously got you out moving.
Yeah. So. I wasn't good by like what you would consider good. Like I joined like my cross country team that year just to like hang out with my friends. Mm-hmm. It's a good way to socialize. to this day, like to this day, it's like my favorite way to socialize. It's my favorite way to like hang out with my friends. It's uninterrupted time. Like there's no phones. There's no like nothing is going on except you, your friends, and the conversation. So I joined the cross country team just to like hang out with friends. I was running like probably mid 9-10 minute miles at that point. And just like kept on and off during high school just to, like I said, hang out with friends.
Yeah. And then so once you graduate from high school, do you carry on running like initially when you get to college?
Nope. Freshman 15 was real. I did not exercise. I wasn't living with my parents.
Did you party at LSU?
I was going to LSU. So I'm going to answer that question with that statement. and
lawyered.
Yeah, 100%. Everyone in this room acts like a lawyer. Hey,
everybody's on lawyer point today.
Just in case my mom like becomes your 81st listener, I gotta, you know, CYA.
Is your mom on, well, let's just say generally, like when moms come up, it's usually Markel who's like, I do what I want. Unless High Def is the one who records with us on the podcast. So like he has this like split personality depending on like how crazy the shit he's saying is.
Yeah. And he goes, Mom, I'm about ready to be High Def.
Right. So like no running at all.
Not for like a couple of years.
All right. Pause it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
I just like didn't do anything. I was being an 18-year-old kid at LSU. Like, why would I run?
Yeah.
There's so much other shit to do.
You're right. Markel approves that message with the okay signs and thumbs up. And so you kind of go forward.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a point in college at all where you kind of pick back up running?
Yeah. I mean, after the couple years, you're like, okay, I can't party anymore. I need to like start exercising. I'm an adult-ish now. So like you start exercising. And it was summer of 09. I remember my friend Blair and I were getting up at like 5 a.m. to start running because it's the summertime. So it's the only time to run, right?
Yeah.
And I remember like that day around the LSU lakes looking at her and saying, we should train for a half marathon. Like her dad was a runner. So she was like, she always had the itch to do longer things anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, let's find a race. Let's sign up. And we signed up for the Jazz Half. Which was, it was the inaugural year here. It was the first year they were ever having it.
What year was that?
09.
Oh,
yeah. Wow.
So.
And like at that time, like how far were you guys running?
Like 5 miles. Like the LSU lakes were like 4 to 6 miles.
Yeah.
So we weren't running like that much at that point.
Yeah. And so like, as is the case, I think for most people who sign up for their first half marathon, like that's a significant goal, right?
Yeah.
When you're only running, like the most you've run is like 5 to 6 miles.
Yeah. And even though like I did loosely run in high school, I mean, I was running like 5 or 6 miles then for fun, like no real training behind it.
Sure.
And we like, you know, got on the internet and like looked up a training plan, like how to train for a half marathon. And we used like Hal Higdon's guide, which was like run 4 times a week, X amount, whatever.
Yeah.
And that October, which was it was Halloween that year, the first year, we like ran that half marathon.
Yeah. And how was like how was that experience? Did you like do it and feel good? Had you trained well, or did you feel like, God, that's like forever? I'm not doing that anymore.
I like always laugh about how I trained or like how I ran that because we definitely trained all through the summer and then school started and we're still at LSU.
Yeah.
So I stopped running for like a month before the race. And so I like remember seeing my cousin at mile 10, she was cheering.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is terrible. This is a terrible idea. What was I thinking? Like true story. It did not feel good at all.
Yeah.
Never run a distance without training for it. If you don't want to feel like crap the
like
whole
horrible
time. Yeah,
because even if you like sometimes right even if you train and it's like a long distance it can be bad too, like when we were out there in Mississippi and I was running the 50, the loops were 3 big loops in a row of 12.5 miles and then 2 little loops of 6 miles. After I finished my first loop, as I was running by, the people were like, oh yay, are you having fun? No. And I kept running. And I'm like generally a pretty positive person.
I think that there's a difference between like being unprepared and just like not having a good race.
Right.
You know, like that feeling of like the feeling I felt was the feeling of being unprepared.
Gotcha.
Not the feeling of not having a good race. There's definitely a difference between the two. I was just unprepared.
Gotcha.
Yeah, there's kind of like accepted, you know, expression or not expression, but like just statement in the running world, right? Which is like the race is your reward for how you trained.
Right.
And that's so true, right? Yeah. Because you can have a bad day when you're racing if you're trained and everything, but it's like, if you didn't train, and I don't know anyone that would ever go out and not train, but you...
Speaking for himself.
You would definitely feel it if you didn't train, and therefore you get punished for that.
Yeah. Trey, do you know anybody who ran the New York City Marathon without training?
Barney Stinson?
Oh, really?
How I Met Your Mother?
Does anyone...
I know what you're talking
about.
Yeah.
He's like, step one on how to run a marathon. Yeah. You run a marathon. And then he like can't get off the subway. Yeah.
So Trey is the New Orleans Barney Stinson. Like, you ran New York City, no training, right?
Yeah.
And then like you just did the 50K, 31 miles in the woods, like trail run. Everybody keeps saying that it wasn't hilly. Fuck that. That shit was hilly. There were hills in it. 31 miles. Like, how many training runs did you do before that?
I ran a half marathon 2 weeks before that.
Like, that's it.
Well, I ran the New York City Marathon in November.
Right? Okay. The one race, the big race he didn't train for, counting as training for the other race he didn't train for.
Yeah. So I ran a marathon and then I ran a half marathon.
Close.
Yeah. And those were, I mean... One was the New York was in November and the ultra was in March.
March, like
so, I was ready. I was good.
Yeah,
I stayed up on it.
I'm good to go.
And I ate perfect too. That's what I gotta say. It was definitely the
all the cauliflower.
No,
cauliflower and Coke.
Drank a shit ton of Coke. Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's the great thing about you get out there on that ultra trail, right? And they're like, "Here are your gummy bears." Here
Literally. Your Coke.
And I was like. This is my go juice. Yeah. It's like they knew me.
Like the food at the aid tables at the ultra is potato chips, Starburst, gummy bears, Coca-Cola, Sprite, ibuprofen.
I was gonna say Advil. Yeah, that's it. Lots of Advil.
Salt capsules that they give to you 6 miles till the end and they go, "Hey, have you had any salt today?"
What?
Yeah. People need salt?
Is there salt in the Starburst?
Right.
Yeah. So, okay. So you do your half. Yeah. I'm sorry.
That's cool.
So you do your half. And you feel like you're undertrained for it. So then you decide, like, "Oh, this sucks. I'm going to train for another one and really train." Or are you like, "I'm done for a while"?
I think I was done for a while.
Okay.
I like would go on casual runs. Like I would running the Yellowshoe Lakes. Like once you start running them, it becomes part of your habit. Like it's part of living in Baton Rouge. You run the Yellowshoe Lakes at that point. But I wasn't training for anything in particular. Until probably like my senior year, like my last year at LSU, I was a super senior, like super duper senior.
Super duper senior.
Took me a while to find my niche.
I like that. I like that.
Got to take that victory lap.
That's it. That's it.
And then take it again.
Right. Just because it's like, I might have missed something on that victory lap. You know, let's run it in reverse.
You did that victory lap like Usain Bolt, right? Right. You're like, "Hey, give me that flag. I'll run around the track a few more times." Right. Like, what?
How is he's? Oh, he's still going.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
Okay, so you pick up running again, like in the senior year, and like what happened? Were you training for something?
So I decided to do Rock and Roll here in New Orleans, local race. So I was like, "Oh, it's easy. Go home, do Rock and Roll."
The half or the full?
The half.
Okay.
I wasn't committed to fulls yet at that point. Simultaneously, my final year at LSU, my sister gets sick.
Yeah.
Doctors don't know what's wrong with her. She's really sick and not sick all at the same time. Like her symptoms are off and on. They're not like violent symptoms, but she's sick. For a 20-year-old, she's sick. Yeah. You know what I mean?
So at this point, it's this year, younger
sister. My sister.
I don't.
Yeah, I'm sorry. My younger sister.
Younger sister.
How old are
you
at this time?
Do you have other siblings also?
Yes, I have a younger brother, Adam, who is 21 now. And I have an older brother, the famous Ishaq.
I've seen some of y'all's beef on like Facebook, and I'm just like, I love this.
There's beef on Facebook?
Very
beef
much.
Beef with the Reef. That's the name of his like little sports column.
This is like,
I can't make this up.
Wait, so like, okay, let's go on this tangent just for a minute. So like your what's your brother's name?
Sharif.
All right. And like you guys have like a very fun and playful kind of like
banter
with one another.
Yeah.
And like, what does he do?
So Sharif is a sports broadcaster on WDSU here. Mm-hmm. So whenever, at this point, I've
that's your brother?
That's my brother. Hi, I'm Sharif Aishak, Channel 6. That's how I usually That's him.
Love it.
So great. It's so great. And so not that I all at all social media stalked you. I've seen some of that banter on Facebook and I just crack up at it.
It's all in good fun.
Yeah.
He's my older brother. He always picked on me. He always like, you know, growing up, he made me, he would practice his knuckleball by just throwing the ball at me. So, you know, he treated me like his little sister.
Yep.
Yeah.
Nice. So.
And meanwhile, like my brother and sister are listening to this episode and going, same shit.
SMH.
Right. Yep. Same shit. But okay, so then at the time your sister's 20 and she's getting really sick.
Yeah.
How old were you?
I was 24.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then like with that age gap, because my sister is 3 years younger than me. My brother's 4 years younger than me. And like my sister and I are super close and have always been super close. My brother and I are closer now and where they're like, as we became adults and he went to college and there was more overlap in our interests, we got closer and closer. But with that age gap, were you and your sister pretty close or?
She was my annoying little sister.
Got it.
You know,
yeah.
We got closer. Like you said, like the older we got, the more I realized like she's not annoying. I'm just being an asshole.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Right. Exact same thing. Because it's like,
you realize you're the older sibling and that like you have to like be better to your siblings kind of thing.
So. Right. And it's like the same thing with my younger brother. I had this same revelation where it was just like, oh, like talking to this dude, like he's got interesting points of view and like he's not a complete moron. And it's not that like he got some brighter. He was a little bit more moronic when he was younger.
Yeah.
But like just my approach to him changed some as I matured. So,
Same. She gets sick.
Yeah.
And she's in the hospital trying to figure out what's going on with her. At the same time, like I start running again. I get a group of my LSU, like the LSU under dietetics, my people in my program. We all agree to run the rock and roll and wear purple for her. I asked her what's her favorite color. At this point, we didn't have a diagnosis, but we knew it was something not great. And we get together, and if you don't know, and I don't know if they are still, this is why they put it on, but they were benefiting the American Cancer Society for a long time, which is why I ran rock and roll for, like, many years after.
Got it.
But directly benefited American Cancer Society that year. So we all got together. We wore purple. We ran. Just kind of, I hate to say in honor of her because she hadn't passed away, but, you know, but just for her.
Yeah.
Someone who's not healthy, but in the hospital and like such a great spirit. If you ever met my sister, her spirit was overwhelmingly great.
Yeah.
She really did like shine a light in every room she was in and really touched the lives of the people that she came in contact with, especially like those months that she was in the hospital.
Yeah.
And she was that she, we soon after we got a diagnosis that she had cancer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Man,
it sucked.
Yeah, I like.
So you got the diagnosis right after.
Yeah,
the
soon
race.
After. I remember getting. I remember getting a call from my dad. I was in Baton Rouge when he called me, and my dad, I mean, was a strong guy. He was a patriarch of the family. If you know anything about Arab men, you know that they are like the center of the family.
Right.
My dad, especially, he was the oldest of the family, so everyone like looked to him. And he calls me, and he's crying. And he's telling me it's cancer. It's leukemia, acute myeloid leukemia. And I mean, how do you take that as a 24-year-old college student who's getting ready to graduate, who had like all these plans ahead of them, you know? So I ran.
Yeah.
I ran.
To be continued, but next time on the Truest Adventure podcast.
Gotta be the truest. Must be the truest.
You know, my sister passing away was detrimental, but I feel like had I known what the next 6 months were going to be like, I think I don't know if I would have reacted the same way. I thought that the worst was over at that point, and it wasn't.